Hi guys, welcome to another bomb.com episode of The Media Matters. We are finally back.
Woohoo!
I know. I am your host, Chantel. I have the always fantastic Miss Marie Rose with me.
Hello, everybody.
And we have a special treat. Miss Lily is with us once again.
Hello.
You got to get way close to your
mic. Hello.
Yeah, so we haven't been together since like episode 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
All three of us. I think it's been
a year.
Over a year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Holy
crap. No way. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because our very first episode released on July 4th of 17. So wow. It's been.
And then I started night shift and yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then we lost you.
Mm-hmm.
To the big corporate world.
And we lost everybody.
Yes. So before we had to unexpectedly halt everything, we had gotten through 22, 23 episodes.
Wow.
I want to say, yeah. And so we were cruising along. We had this grand plan to release 2 episodes per week in October, which we did until Halloween came because, you know, I love Halloween so much. And so Marie was like, yeah, fine, whatever. And before I go on, I just want to say that. So last year when I talked to you guys about doing the podcast, like you guys didn't ask any questions and just said, yeah, whatever, whatever you need. And so this year it's time to ramp things up again. And do you know what they said, you guys? Yeah, sure. What do you need? Like, these are some ride or die witches. Like, I love you guys so much. I was saying this in the vlog because, well, you guys will see. I'll talk more about the vlog. But I was saying this in the vlog that I don't think I have told you guys how much you mean to me, how much it means to me that you just jump in, no questions asked. So these are the friends that you want on your side at like 2 a.m. when you have to bury a body.
Just let me know.
Yeah.
I've got a shovel.
Not via text.
Yeah, we're here. That's right. Just call.
Yeah, these are the friends. So I appreciate you guys being with me in this and everything else so much. I can't even tell you. Like,
we heart you too.
And I feel very stuffy right now. It might be because we're drinking alcohol. I don't know. There's like little baby alcohol. Okay, so we had like 20. I am making so much noise right now. I can't even. I should stop drinking.
You've had one sip.
I know. It's a lot. So we worked through 20 some odd episodes. Marie and I kicked ass on the October stuff for Halloween. And we did 2 episodes per week through all of October until Halloween came. And 0 episode on Halloween. Because, Marie, what happened? What happened at the very, very end of September 2017?
My ass got shipped off to Houston.
Yeah.
For work.
Mm-hmm.
And it was supposed to be a 1 month job. And it took 3 months. And I went, oh, hell no. I'm bringing my witches with me. Mm-hmm. Chantel joined me a week later.
Yeah, I was like.
And Lily talked them into bringing Lily on. And she joined us a month later. And
the day before Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And I started the 30th.
And we kicked major butt on that project.
Mm-hmm.
For me, what was supposed to be 1 month turned into 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
I came home on Christmas Eve and surprised my family. And you ladies stayed, another 4 months?
End of April.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
beginning of May.
Beginning of May.
So it was, but it was worthwhile work.
Very much. So the way it all went down is I found out about this project in the middle of September, that it was a potential project. And then the last week of September, I think it was the last week, I found out that I was in fact going and that the rest of the team had been notified just like a day or two before. It was something like that. Like, it was very last minute, very last minute. So Marie and I hustled to get episodes recorded. So you left on a Monday, which I think it was like the 3rd or something like that, October.
That sounds right, because you joined us almost exactly a week later.
Yeah. So you left on that Monday. So that Saturday, Marie and I got together and we whipped out 4 or 5 episodes. Like, we cranked and recorded till like almost 1 a.m. And we were so tired. It was like midnight.
I think there was a lot of giggling involved. I'm not sure how productive that was.
Yes, but they were good episodes. They were very good episodes. And we were delirious, but we went hard and we got them all done. Marie had to turn around, go home and pack and leave first thing Monday morning. And then I was supposed to be there, I think a week and a half later, and then was told, so our president, not the country president, but our company president said, why aren't you gone yet? Can you get on a plane on such and such date? I said, yes, sir. And so I got there like 4 days earlier than I was supposed to be there. And the rest is history. So, yes, Marie was there until Christmas Eve. No, 2 days before Christmas Eve.
Yeah, I drove back.
Yeah. So she drove back from Houston. And then Lily was there till the very end of April. And then I got back the end of the first or middle of the week.
Somewhere in the first week of May.
Yeah, first week of May, and have been recovering ever since. So, like Marie said, it was an awesome project. The thing that we did not anticipate was the amount of work that laid before us. Like, it was, I mean, the day before I got there, I think we were texting. Marie and I were texting, and she said, yeah, so I just worked a 16-hour day. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, nobody could have anticipated that it was going to be 7 days a week, 16-hour days.
Yeah, it was. I mean, from the jump, it was a lot of work. So I got there, like my flight was at 5-something in the morning, I think. As soon as I landed, my Uber took me straight to the office, and it was like go time from there. And that's how it was every day that followed. And we are not exaggerating when we say we worked 7 days a week, 15 to 17-hour days, sometimes 18 hours a day. And at the beginning, before Lily got there and some of our other managers got there, it was just three of us, really, because one of our managers didn't go out on the floor. So we were, balls to the wall all the time.
But it was a fantastic experience. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't trade it for the world. Yes, it was physically exhausting, emotionally exhausting. But the people of Houston are fantastic.
Oh my gosh.
I would not trade. The folks that we brought on, yes, from Houston, and oh, they were fantastic. I loved every single one of them. Well, yes, almost every single one of them.
Yes. We met so many great people. A lot of the people that ended up working with and for us were just phenomenal. They were so kind and selfless, and I mean,
oh, big hearts.
Yes. And oh my God, the amount of food we ate. Oh my gosh.
I still have not lost my Houston weight.
I lost mine and yours and everyone else's.
Yes, you did. Yeah, I left Houston and then Chantel came home like half a person.
It's a true statement.
And happy for it. Didn't even try, but I might still be dying on the inside. I don't know. So yeah, a lot of great people. I'm so glad you brought that up because we did meet a lot of awesome people all at work because we didn't have time to be outdoors.
I know. I think about to when we were just thinking about going out to Houston and we made all of these plans, mm-hmm, all of these cool haunted places, yes, in Houston that we were going to go visit. And we had friends suggesting haunted places to us, mm-hmm, places that really had a spiritual history. And we were so naive. We hardly left our little 5-mile radius.
Yes. I mean, none of us could have anticipated, like from our company president on down, that it was going to be so intense and so just demanding. I mean, I don't even know how else to say it. So I know that me personally, my health suffered tremendously. And I, like, initially I was like, oh, this is funny. Haha. Like, I would joke about it because I didn't really think that the two were related, but my hair was falling out. My skin changed. My feet were in constant pain because we walked all day, every day, not by choice. Like it was, have to like, it was just walk around and helping people. And oh my gosh. And I did lose a crap ton of weight. And I mean, it was a lot of stuff. I would wake up in the middle of the night, like, you know, during nap time, and with these horrendous leg cramps that were like the worst spasms I have ever had in my life. And it was like almost every night.
Oh yeah. I got dehydrated while I was out there.
Yes. It was so bad. It was so bad. So it was like, I would ramp up my water intake. I would try to eat less sodium because my first like month there, I was so swollen. Like my legs were so swollen. Like everything was just, I was like, oh my God, I can't even put my freaking shoes on. And it did not take long to go from ballet flats to sneakers. I'm like, screw this. I'm done. It was a lot. But I have to say, I am so excited, so grateful for the team that we ended up with, because we weren't completely sure who was going to make it to Houston from our office here. And it was a lot of different names got thrown in the pool, and all of which I know would have been great in the end. But ultimately, I'm so glad that it ended up being the team that it was, because we were so tight. We worked really well together. I think if there was ever a disagreement, it was probably from lack of sleep. And that's what it was driven by, like nothing else. But it was such a great experience. Not one that I'm ready to do again.
No, not in the near future. But no, it was definitely awesome to go through.
It was really cool. So like Marie said, though, I know you and I went through some websites and had this long list. We even did a Houston Haunts episode.
Right.
And we're like, oh yeah, when we get there, we're going to tell you guys how it was in person. What a bunch of crap.
Oh yeah. We had, there's no way we could have predicted what happened in Houston. No. There's no way.
We even got like, I think at the first hotel we stayed at, we got one of those little flyers. So they have that section that has all the flyers of like things to do locally. And we got a haunted tour flyer.
Right.
And it's in one of my boxes that I brought back from Houston. I was like, one day, we're going to go do this tour one day. So, yeah, it was quite the freaking experience. So I do remember it was October whatever day, and we still had, I think, a couple episodes left to release, like a week's worth of episodes. And we got back to the hotel after working like 14 hours, 15 hours, something like that.
Yeah.
And Marie and I were so tired, and we hunkered down in the little kitchenette and we recorded two episodes, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Two episodes. And we were so effing tired and laughed the whole time. I had so much editing to do when I listened to those. I was like, oh God, I'm never going to finish. So when we did those, I think we did them on like a Sunday.
Yeah, that sounds
right. It may
right.
have even been Monday night. I don't remember. But I know like the very next morning I woke up at 4 a.m. so that I could edit and post. So they would post that night because I knew the day was going to be hectic. Like that's how like down to the wire we got with those last, I think, two episodes that we had in the bag. And that was it. Because after that, I remember going on social media. I think it was Facebook and Twitter, and saying like, something about we have to take an unexpected hiatus, we'll be back. I don't even think we got to say that in a show because we didn't even know. We still thought like, oh, it'll die down in like a week or two, we'll be okay. And it only got crazier.
Yeah, we had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now we do.
Yeah,
but
now we know.
It was learning that project.
Yeah,
was but we owned it.
Oh, yeah.
We
killed it. Like, we made it ours. So much so that they want to have us back. I mean, we did such a kick-ass job. And I'm very proud of us. I mean, I don't think we ever cried in front of anyone or bled in front of anyone. Or we kept all that behind closed doors.
Right. And, so. I mean, there were other companies hired as well.
Right.
And Every company knew that it was temporary, including
mm-hmm.
us.
Right.
But our goal was to be the last man standing.
Exactly.
And at the end of the day, we were the last company open.
We were. We were the very last.
And because we owned it.
Yes. And I remember the last few weeks, and Lily, you might remember this, like every time we ended up letting our people go in phases, and that was straight from the contractor, that was not our decision,
right, from the customer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so every time I remember saying, this is what we asked for, you guys, we wanted to be the last ones here. And everybody saw the blessing in that it really, I mean, it ended up being something that we manifested. We really were there. But like Marie said, it was, when I was told about it, it was maximum 90 days. So I heard that up front in like mid-September, I believe. I know I heard that before I left. And then it went, we got to the end of the 90 days, and then it was another 30, and then another 30, and then another. And I don't think it was till February or there was one. No, it was always only like 30 days, right?
Well, it started off every 2 weeks.
That's there you go. That's what I'm thinking.
Off 2 weeks. We got 2 week extension, 2 week extension. There you go. They anticipated the 90 day time frame,
right?
But it was 2 weeks at a time that it was extended, and then after
end of
that
December,
90 days,
yeah, right, it went January, to 30 days. Okay, that's what I'm thinking.
Every month, and yeah, we thought okay, a month or two. We were hoping to get through February. Then we, you know,
right,
looks like we're going to be through March,
mm-hmm,
and then to actually get through April was phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean we. It just kept going and going, which we were happy about. I mean, it only looks good for us. And we did such a great job that they wanted to keep us on. And I mean, there were a lot of things involved that led to that happening. Companies staying, companies not staying. So we kicked ass, though. We did it. So I'm very proud of us. Very proud of us. And I'm happy to be home.
Like, definitely.
I mean, coming home was, geez, I don't even know. It was sad, though. It was sad. There were a lot of people crying, and I don't want it to be over. Is there any way we can make it last? And we're like, man, if we could make it last, we would make it last. But
it was definitely emotional.
I was good. I held strong. Mm-hmm. And one of our coworkers and I were the last ones there, and we were walking out. He and I drove back. So we had to load up a U-Haul truck with some of our equipment, and we are on our way out of the building for the very last time, have our backpacks on, our laptops in hand, and we're going to go to the hotel and pack. And he's like, you're still good? And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. And we're walking, like turning lights off, and it hit me. And I'm like, oh my God. And I just like started crying. He's like, are you okay? I'm like, oh God, I'm girl crying. But it just
the ugly cry.
Yeah. It like hit me in that moment. I was like, oh my God, like all the awesome memories, one of the cool things that I'll never forget is we were there all day, every day. So these people did become friends and family to us, and we became friends and family to them. It was more than just a work relationship. And they would confide in us and tell us a lot of very personal things that are just pretty mind-blowing. But what was really cool to me, number one, that they trusted us so much, but that they became so tight amongst themselves. Mm-hmm. And some of these people that were in dire situations in their home life, their personal life, just kind of upside down, really found these amazing friends and formed these special friendships that I think are still going. I mean, back in like January, I remember people talking about still being there in June. Like they were that positive we were going to keep going. I mean, even we were. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about having to give us a time off notice so that they could go on a cruise together. Like these people were planning vacations together, people that didn't know each other prior to that. And it was just really cool to see that these friendships formed and these tight relationships. I really appreciated that.
Yeah, well, you know, what we did over there is, you know, we quickly hired hundreds and hundreds of people, mm-hmm, to work together on a single job.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, these folks, and I remember when they were going through training, I was looking around the room, and I may have even mentioned this to Lily, but I'm like, these people are going to become friends. There's a couple of people that I see that will probably get married. There's going to be some babies born out of this group.
Yeah, we were taking bets on that at the end. Who's going to have the first Houston Project baby?
Yeah, and I mean, you could just see it. Mm-hmm. There's going to be some relationships.
Oh yeah,
some lifelong friendships.
We saw some of those hookups firsthand. Yeah, it was interesting for sure. We saw the friendships form. We saw some of those relationships, the, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend or whatever the case, come together. We definitely saw that. We saw a lot of things, a lot of interesting things.
We didn't, like you said, the people who needed support found support. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it was, you know, two women in bad situations with children involved, and they looked at each other and said, you know, hey, you in a room together, mm-hmm, and all of a sudden you could see the light at the end of the tunnel. You could see a spark in their eyes again. And I think that is something I'll be, you know, forever grateful to have witnessed.
Absolutely. Me too.
Yeah. I mean, when I say this was worthwhile work, it was worthwhile work in multiple ways,
mm-hmm,
multiple ways.
I agree. I definitely agree. I learned a lot. I know if not put in that position, there is so much that I wouldn't know right now. And I wouldn't even know that I didn't know it because I didn't need to know it. But I definitely learned a lot about myself, about other people, their behavior, the things that they need, just kind of a general, you know, what's kind of just needed on a basic life level. You know, like, it's not about a crap ton of money or it's safety and security and love and laughter. Like, it really was, it's that basic. It really is when it comes down to it.
The basic needs of life.
Yeah, the basic stuff. And it was a very cool experience, very exhausting, but really cool. Like, once in a lifetime. So now we're back.
Yeah, and I don't know about you two, but for me coming back, it was an adjustment. Mm-hmm. I could not go back to my office. I had to take a couple of weeks off. Mm-hmm. I had to be used to being home again. Mm-hmm. I had to be used to, the mindset of being home and,
right.
and not living in a hotel, and just getting used to being here again. Mm-hmm. I remember I called my boss and I even called another friend in, because I had to ask myself, did I want to go back? Mm-hmm. Number one, I was gone for a long time. Was I still needed back? Mm-hmm. And did I want to come back? And so we had lunch, and based on my boss's face, it was oh, thank God you're back. That kind of answered that question.
Right.
And when are you coming back? And so that answered that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I had to do a lot of soul searching when I got back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was unexpected. And well, yes and no, because I know that early on, because we were working so much, I quickly fell into that pattern and got used to it. And to think of coming back and slowing down at all gave me anxiety. That did not take long. That was in October, like middle to end of October. I could already feel that change where I was panicking at the thought of slowing down and not having all this noise and commotion around me all the time. And so as time got closer, as each contract extension was coming to an end, I would get nervous and think like, oh my gosh, it's time to go back now. And what is life going to be like back at work? And the environment here is so different.
Well, it's normal. It's 8-hour days. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes, yeah, you have to, you know, pull in overtime when you've mm-hmm. got multiple projects going on and deadlines going on. But it is not 7 days a week, 16-hour days.
Or hundreds of people. It's right. not. We have combined in all of our offices here locally, it's 100 and, no, not even 100 and something, right? No, it's not. It's like
between 1 and 200.
Yeah. So it's much smaller. It's far quieter. It's not a bunch of running around and noise and microwaves and cell phones going off in the hall, or it's none of that. It is super quiet over here at our local office where Marie and I work. It's painfully quiet. And I knew that before. And then coming back, just remembering that, it was giving me.
How much time did you take off before you went back to the office?
I took a week off, and it's only because I was sick. So I came back, we left, it was like midnight on Saturday morning, and as we were leaving, I felt like the scratching and that kind of like swallowing glass feeling in your throat. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was just because I was so tired, because I really was really tired. I hadn't been sleeping well, and we'd been working a lot and packing. And so on the trip back, it just intensified. And when we finally made it, I felt so bad. And then I was like, well, I've been gone for a while. And it was because I was sick, but also like the house was just so dusty and it was such a freaking mess. Not a mess like things everywhere, just dusty. It had been sitting all closed up. So I just thought, well, I'll just take, you know, a few days off. And it was really going to be just a few days and clean up. And then it just worked out because I got to spend time with some of my family. They came over to hang with me and help me clean and, you know, just kind of visit and stuff. And then it gave me a chance to just rest a little bit because I was really sick. So I really should have taken more time off. I really should have. But then I was like, well, no time like the present. Let's get back to it. So yeah. Strapped on my steel-toed boots and my hard hat, and I was like, let's get back out in the field.
Yeah. And I did. I actually hired a house cleaner to go through the house before I went home.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So I didn't have to come home to that.
That's a really good idea. You're so smart.
Isn't she? That's I know. How we adore her.
I know. Jeez. That's a really good idea.
So what kind of self-care did you do when you were in Houston? Did you do any?
No. My hair was falling
out. What is that?
I know. I did none. No self-care. When I packed to go to Houston, I took my incense with me. I took some sage with me. I brought some crystals, some essential oils. What else did I bring? I brought the stuff that I usually have with me when I meditate, and some oils that I put on before I go to sleep, and some crystals that I usually have when I sleep. And I used them the first week, I think, or two. I'm not sure. Like, it was not, I did not use them very much. And whatever amount of time I did use them, it was right at the very beginning. And that was it. I think I meditated once, maybe twice, the whole time we were in Houston. And I want to say it was at the beginning. So there was no self-care. It was like when I got back to my hotel room at night, it was take a quick shower, lay down and nap for a few hours, and then get up and do it all over again. And in the morning, I was just dead tired. So by the time we would make it back, I was too tired to even do anything. And it really was like a pass out. It was, there was no thinking about I should do self-Reiki or I should meditate really quick.
Yeah, when we were over there, we actually received some remote Reiki sessions we were over there. And I had a little, what you call?
Do you have a little hitchhiker?
Yeah, a little hitchhiker. And which got cleared up, thankfully.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt so much better. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay. I've got to do something. So I tried to do at least a little meditation, mm-hmm. even if it was just 10 minutes.
I remember you saying that. And I was so proud of you for doing that.
And I saged my room, my hotel room once a week. We had a cleaning person come in once a week as part of the service. And so after she came in, I would sage the room. And because I don't know what kind of energy she's bringing in.
Mm-hmm.
So I do that to try to keep things clear. And
or never mind that you're in a hotel and people are constantly in and out. So even if they're not coming into your room.
Right.
The energy is a flowing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I'm trying to think what else. I want to say it took a couple of Epsom salt baths, but not as many as I wanted to.
Well, I know one of the things that really helped me was, I don't know, somewhere in mid-November. So I'd only been there a couple of weeks, and whatever, you know, there were three different parts as we're doing the bringing people in and then getting them trained and then getting them on the floor. And when all of those activities were still going on at the same time, things, you know, you get a little frantic, a little hairy or whatever. And on one day I was just harried for whatever reason. And I don't remember what was going on, but I remember you looked at me, Marie, and you said, come on. And we took a 15-minute break, and we went outside, and we took a walk, and it was right around sunset. And you said, come on, we're going to go for a walk at sunset. So we did that, and the next day we did it again, and we grabbed SK, Chantel, and said, you know, mm-hmm. come on, we're doing this. And that, for me, those 10 or 15 minutes just turned into... And whether we did it in the morning with sunrise or in the middle of the day, depending on the weather, I know we did a lot of sunset, and then later I did a lot of moon. Mm-hmm. When I could see the moon, we'd go outside because, you know, we worked long hours. We were there till 11 o'clock at night, so the opportunity to see the moon, especially we were there at that point winter time, the sun was setting earlier, and. You know, had a chance to go out and see some of those things. So those little breaks, those 10, 15 minutes that we took, even once a day, made a huge difference in my overall.
That's you guys. You're welcome.
ability to get through the day.
Baby Huey's lonely. Huey agrees.
See, I was Huey just going to say, he agrees. He
or Hennessy, I don't know.
Thing.
That might be Hennessy. I don't know. You're right. I forgot all about those walks. I'm already trying to purge the memories.
Get rid of them.
PTSD.
Don't think about it.
I know. So I do remember that. And after Marie left, we continued those walks. So we would do it when you came in a little bit later. Like, we were trying to do shifts so we could have a little bit of a normal life. And that did not work as much as we tried. So you guys know, this was not like a schedule. We were not scheduled to be there 17 hours a day. It just effing worked out that way. Like, we are just that committed. We are not the people that are like, oh, it's my time to go, or that's not my job. None of us have ever had that mentality. And I'm so grateful for it, because I truly dislike and detest working with people like that. I don't like being around people like that. So suck it the F up. Let's get the work done. And that is exactly what our team was about. And I could not be more thankful to end up with that group of people, because every person on our team was like that. So in any event, we were not scheduled for 17 hours every single day. Nope. It just worked out that way. So please don't call the government. It's not an abuse of anything. It's just our work ethic. That said, yes, those walks were amazing. So we had this parking structure behind the building where we would go. It just, I don't know what attracted us to it. Actually, nobody would park there. I think that's what it was. It was the one spot where we could get away from everything for just a few minutes.
And it was up high. It was a two-story parking structure. So if you went upstairs where nobody parked because we had plenty of room downstairs, then it seemed secluded. It was a little bit away, even though it was right next to the building, and we could get back and, you know what, 30 seconds, you could be back inside. It felt a world away.
It did. Break. Those walks were so nice. So it was Marie that started it with, hey, sun setting, why don't we go outside? And the first day we did that, I remember feeling like my shoulders dropped a little bit and we were laughing. And I mean, not that we didn't laugh inside, but it was like a freedom laugh. Like, we're not just laughing because, like,
release.
It wasn't like, oh my God, that call was hilarious. It was, oh my gosh, you know, we should whatever. Or do you guys remember the time? Like, it was our laughter, not, you know, a work laughter. So it was, yeah, that was really nice. I did forget about those walks. So Lily and I did continue that after Marie abandoned us. No hard feelings.
Left us to on our own.
I know. We were without our mom and orphaned, and we cried every day. So
whatever.
We did miss you. We missed you. It was weird not having you there.
Well, the day I left, we said goodbye in that parking lot, and it was an ugly cry.
Yeah, I cried.
It was.
I don't remember if I cried with you.
It was an ugly cry.
No, I think I did cry with you. And then I cried more in the car. I was like,
Yeah.
We were like going to the movies or something. Like, we all went to brunch and then we parted ways, and I did cry. Like, I was so sad. I was like, one of the crew is leaving.
Yeah. I will tell you, driving home, because that wasn't the plan. The plan was, you know, pack up your stuff and fly home. It's like, no, I've accumulated too much stuff in Houston. I'm going to drive home. I'll make it a 2-day drive. And I'm so glad I did, because it allowed me to transition. And I felt like I got to see Texas for the first time. You know, I got to see the fields and the oil rigs and the steers, and, you know, the cows. And it's like, oh, this is what Texas is. Oh, this is what it looks like outside of Houston. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is Texas. Okay. Got it.
That's a nice experience.
Yeah. And so, but it was, the drive home was healing. It really was. Got to reflect on everything. Yeah. And it was good.
Mine was not. Mine was exhausting. We were driving at midnight, so we did not see anything until the sun started coming up. And I think when the sun was coming up, it was my shift to drive. And I drove like the middle 4 or 5 hours. And I was chewing on cold fries to stay awake because my eyes were closing and my throat hurt and I was so tired. very different experiences. And my navigator was sound asleep.
I know your navigator, and he doesn't stay up for anything.
No, he does not.
No.
You even let him smell like a car, and he's out cold. So I was like, that's nice. No. Like, we pulled out of the parking lot of the gas station when my shift started, and his ass was out cold. I was like, what the?
No, keeping the driver awake is not in his vocabulary.
No. So I was eating cold French fries. So we drove at night. I mean, it just made more sense. We were in a U-Haul, and our biggest concern is neither one of us was like drives big box trucks. So we figured a lot less traffic at night. If, you know, something should happen, hopefully it only happens to us. But nothing happened. We were good. And by the time the sun came up, and I mean, the traffic was bumping when the sun came up. Like, it was, there were cars everywhere. So we just, I mean, we took our time and it was all good. He was fabulous to travel with. If you guys ever travel with him and you're driving, he'll just be asleep. So it's like you're by yourself. And if he's the driver, then he's chatty. And I mean, we had a good time. So very different experiences. It was not healing for me. It was exhausting. And then we got here only to go to our other office and unpack the effing truck. So it was good fun. Good fun. Yeah.
You glad to have that part behind you, aren't
you?
Oh,
yes. All of it. So it is now early August. So this is how you guys know. This is what we try to do, is record and have episodes in the bag. And this episode you will hear on September 4th. Yay. Now you know one of our insider secrets. So it has taken me this long to get it together and feel alive enough to get the show going again, because I really was incredibly unhealthy. I had taken some vitamins with me, I think. Like, I take different vitamins every single day, and had, my intention was to keep my regimen going every day. That did not happen. And I didn't take very much of it with me, thinking I'll just replenish while I'm there. That did not happen. At Christmas time, I remember I had like an afternoon off or something. I don't remember what was up, or, oh no, we were closed for a couple days at Christmas. I think that's what it was. So I was at the mall and there was a vitamin shop, and I went in there and got a multivitamin and something else, and didn't even take it. Like, I think I brought the bottles back damn near full. And I mean, I was really, really unhealthy. I knew then, like, while I was in Houston, my feet would never be the same. There will always probably be some level of pain in my feet. It was a lot of walking, and a lot of walking in shoes that are not made for walking all day, like Vans or ballet flats.
But you looked cute.
Oh, thank you. I felt cute.
You're beautiful, baby.
The shoes that probably did me the most service were my Pumas. Mm-hmm. Of all my sneakers, it was my Pumas. Who knew? So those felt the most comfortable. Now. Yeah, mm-hmm. No, they are ride or die, my Pumas. So I will never get rid of that specific pair. So yeah, it was hard job. But if you guys are wondering where we've been, that's what's been going on. We were gone for what was supposed to be 30 days. That turned into 60 and 90, then turned into 7 months. So by the time Lily and I got back, it was about 7 months. Mine was just a little, like, right at 7 months. So yeah.
Who knew?
Yeah, who knew?
Who knew?
Who knew? And I wouldn't trade it for anything. It was such a great experience. It was a lot of changes happened. I know, I'll speak for me, when we would go on those walks, I started bringing my pendulum with me, and just, it was like my version of a meditation, just spending a little bit of time with that one crystal that's extra special to me. It's the only pendulum I have, and that son of a bee has been hiding from me on and off since like end of April. Yes.
Really?
That. Oh, I want to cuss so bad this episode. What is happening? Yeah, that mother effer. So before we left Houston, 2-3 days before we left, I could not find him. And I was looking and looking, and I always had him with me, like in my pocket all the time. Especially like since we started doing the afternoon walks, and I would like bring him with me and ask some questions, whatever. And so then suddenly I can't find his ass. And I'm like, where are you? And I was getting desperate. And I'm like, I don't want to leave Houston without my pendulum. And what am I going to do? And the night, it was like an hour before we hit the road, or an hour and a half. And I undid my backpack, took everything out of it so I could repack it. And there it was, like in one of the pockets. And I had searched that pocket. I had searched all the pockets, that damn backpack, inside and out.
It's playing peekaboo with you.
Yes. That son of a bee. Mm-hmm.
Where is it right now?
I don't know. He is hiding again.
But he's in the house?
Maybe. I don't know.
Or in that backpack pocket?
I looked there today. Like today specifically, I was looking for him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Today specifically. And no.
Maybe you don't need him right now.
I must not. So this is the third time since beginning of May that he has disappeared on me. Because remember, I said first day of Reiki level 3. Oh, that's another thing we did, you guys. We did Reiki level 3. We did that in July. 2 weeks worth of Reiki class. And oh my God, the tales we have to tell. The tales. So, when we were getting ready for our Reiki class, I knew that I needed my pendulum. And what happened? I couldn't find him. And then I think as I'm walking out the door, I'm like, let me go check this one place again. And there he was.
So it's your selenite pendulum?
Mm-hmm. Peek-a-boo. It's the only pendulum I have. The one we got at Reiki level 1.
I can't even grasp the concept of having one pendulum.
Really? Let me say this. I have wanted to get others, and now I don't anymore. He's like my go-to. We're pretty ride or die. Or so I think. I don't know.
Yeah, I just started thinking, you know, some questions I had were financial. Some questions I had was this.
Right.
Some questions I had was that. And it's like, okay, why am I asking a selenite pendulum, you know, financial questions? So I went out and got a pyrite.
Mm-hmm. Right, because not every crystal is good for everything.
Right. You know, because my very first crystal was blue aventurine, and that was way before my first Reiki class. And you had to go through an exercise of which one is calling to you.
Oh, right.
And I'm like, well, what do you mean? What does that mean? Okay, well, there's like three of them calling to me. That's the one I picked. And we got attuned to each other, mm-hmm. and there was like a little party going on in my head. So I knew I picked the right one. And then I got the selenite one at Reiki level 1. And I've just been, you know, collecting. Well, if I felt I needed one, I'd go get one. Mm-hmm. I've got like an amethyst pendulum, the pyrite pendulum. Mm-hmm. And it's, yeah, I can't grasp having just one.
Yeah. And mine. So I've had mine since level 1, which that was 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
It's been about 3 years. So I noticed that over time it was developing this crack down the middle-ish. And my fear was that it was going to break. Well, whilst in Houston, it did. I don't remember how it happened, if I dropped it or if I just took it out of the bag. I have this little black velvet pouch that it hangs out in. I don't remember how it happened, but I remember that I was so sad and I'm like, oh my God, it's broken. But I do remember, I know from our Reiki classes and our Reiki shares, and Marie and I did a crystal class with Deb Bowen.
Yes.
From what is that show she's on, the podcast? I can't remember.
If you didn't ask me, I would be able to tell you, but it's Deb Bowen.
Yeah, she is phenomenal. I love her so much. And I will figure out what the podcast is. I haven't listened to a podcast since before I left for Houston. So there you go. So it's hard for me to remember. I remember some of the friends I've made, like those guys I remember, like the friends that I've made, but the actual shows, I'm like, oh God, what is the name of the show? Because I haven't listened to anything. So in any event.
Psychic Teachers?
Yes, there you go. Psychic Teachers. Really, really great podcast. So we did her. So in any event, my point being that over time, through reading and being part of different classes, I have learned that your crystal or crystals can break when you don't need them anymore. They can break when you're supposed to give a piece or pieces away to other people that need them more. They will disappear when they're not needed anymore, when you don't need them, when it's time for you to move on to something else. They are energy. They're living things. And so I guess they know, you know, as a crystal, they don't have legs. I don't know how they do it, but they get help from the other side. I don't know. So they have a way of doing this. So my pendulum did end up breaking. And once that piece broke off, that is when our bond was so tight. So tight. Like, we are thick as thieves, that pendulum and I. So why he likes to effing hide from me is beyond me.
We will have words.
No, we will have words. So once that piece broke off, that pendulum, like, I just felt this connection to it, and it became my go-to for everything. So I previously would use it when I did a Reiki session on someone. I would use it when I did a meditation to kind of confirm some information that I had received during meditation. And it wasn't until Houston that I really started to broaden my horizons. And oh my gosh, were my horizons broadened. So yeah, we became really, really tight. So on those walks, I would bring my pendulum with me, and I would take it out of the bag, and it would spin and spin like this huge. So my pendulum does that when it's like an emphatic yes, or it's super excited about whatever information is being delivered, or like, I can't quite explain it, but Lily has seen it in action. I don't know if you have, Marie, but
it's amazing.
This thing is like, oh, I know what it's like. It's like when I get home or you guys come over and Huey loses his crap. Like, he's like, oh my God.
Oh my gosh. It's yeah. You, it's you, it's
oh my
you.
God, oh my God. Yeah, that's exactly what the pendulum does. And it spins and spins, like, and I just let it go till it's done. Mm-hmm. Lily has seen it, and she would just laugh hysterically. She's like, oh my God, it's still going. I'm like, yep. So I would just hold it. And that is when I became super tight with it and started having these sessions, these meditation sessions, I guess, where I was completely awake and aware and got all kinds of information that was just jaw-dropping, where I was like, there's no way in hell that's going to happen. And to the T, this stuff was coming to fruition. Like, it was so crazy. And then suddenly it wasn't. And it was like the tail end of the information that I had received was just like, so I did end up talking to my Reiki teacher, our Reiki teacher, about it, and said, hey, I'm just confused. I don't know what happened, if I am misreading it. And because the information was so off the wall, I did ask my guides and angels, you know, directly and via my pendulum, if I was misinterpreting anything, and it was always, no, this is the information we have for you. This is part of your life plan. This is whatever. And so a lot of it, I would say 90-95% was spot on. And then there were a few things that just weren't. And so, you know, in talking to our Reiki teacher, she said, look, it's this phase we're in where right now everything is almost like upside down. And I was like, what the hell does that mean? So she's like, it's happening to me too. And honestly, when she said that, I was like, okay, you're a professional. So as long as it's happening to you, I'm good. Like, if you are also being haunted, then I'm okay with that. You know, misery loves company. So
absolutely. I mean, there were only, what, 7 planets in retrograde at the time.
Right, right. It was madness.
We're down to 5 or 4 now. So.
Oh, God. Something's always in retrograde. I don't even pay attention anymore.
Right.
I really don't. So yeah, it was a crazy time. It was crazy, great, crazy, bad, crazy in the middle. Like, it was the full spectrum of crazy. And I am glad to be back. It did take a while to adjust. I think just in the last few weeks, I feel more adjusted. Like, it took me a while. It really took me a while. And I felt like I didn't really know anybody anymore. I really just felt so like I had been on an island. You know what I mean? Like, you're secluded from everybody, and then you suddenly come back and everybody expects life to go on like normal because they've been living the normal life and you haven't. And they don't quite understand why you're being so weird. You're like, because I don't know how to live in this world anymore.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Oh, very much so. I mean, that's why I was very, very grateful for that time off in between.
Mm-hmm.
I even invited my team to lunch before I went back, so that I could spew out, answer all of their questions, and tell the story of Houston and what was going on. Because everybody had questions. What's going on over there?
And everybody had a different version of
the
actual events.
Right, because they all they heard was these stories coming out of Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And we were, our project out there was really being touted company-wide, and we didn't know it because we were in our own little bubble.
We were.
And then once we got back to our coworkers and whatnot, I mean, they were wide eyed and what was going on out mm-hmm. there and whatnot. So, you know, so I spent, you know, a lunchtime with them answering all their questions and getting caught up, you know, about what was happening, you know, back at the home office, you know, what was happening back in their lives, you know, pictures of kids and grandbabies and mm-hmm. just getting caught up all around and, mm-hmm. and letting them know, okay, this is the day that I'm going to be back. So just basically setting that expectation and whatnot, but just clearing the air,
right.
In a casual environment. And, that helped a ton. 'Cause then when I went back to work, it was okay. You know, we're not socializing. We're not shooting the crap, you know, and answering all these questions. We got all of that out of the way. Okay. Now it's time to go to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was different for me 'cause I didn't do any of that. I saw my mom and one of my cousins and her kids the week I was off. And when I went back to work, it was a lot of questions and, oh my gosh, and anybody that walked by my office, like I almost had anxiety about having my office door open. 'Cause I'm like, I just want to close it. It's too many questions. So I had a little bit of anxiety with that. And everybody, I mean, they were so happy to see all of us. They really were excited to see us. And it was very nice to be missed. I mean, it could be the other way around where they're like, crap, they're back.
Or right, she's back. Right.
The witch is back.
Right.
So it was not that at all. We have very, very amazing friends here that we work with. And it really is like a family because everybody we work with has been here forever and ever. I might be like one of the newer people and I've been here a little over 11 years.
So, right.
So, I mean.
Yeah. Next year will be my 20th year.
Right. So this company. You know what I mean? It's, yeah. I mean, it's a pretty tight knit group. So it was very sweet of everyone to come by and say hi and ask all these questions, but it was really overwhelming at the same time. So even though I was happy to see these people, I was also really overwhelmed. And the first week or two back at work, I felt so exhausted. And I just was like, I'd rather not be here. It's like, I want to go back to Houston where I know how the world functions. I just couldn't. Like, it was
take
hard.
The known over the, mm-hmm. yeah, the unknown
over what you're supposed to know or right. what you used to know. And it's just right. not the same anymore. And it took me a long time. So there's still like a bunch of my family and friends that I haven't seen. And it's not because I don't want to see them. It's because I still feel really tired. And I feel there's still some of me that feels a disconnect with this world. I'm still trying to acclimate. And there have been so many changes that, I mean, there's just in general, like so much has gone on. So much has changed in the last, like, what's it been now? 10 months? Mm-hmm. I think like 10 months since we left and, you know, between the time we left and came back and between the time we left and now, present day. So a lot has changed and I still feel like I'm trying to figure out what normal is. And I mean, even we don't get to see each other that much. I'm gone a lot. I'm in the field a lot, which if you guys don't know what that means, it means that I'm not working in the office. I'm working my job, which is construction management, out at job sites on construction sites. So I don't get to see Marie very much. Lily doesn't work with us anymore, so we don't get to see her very often. So when we get to come together and do these recordings, it is so much fun and we soak it up and extend it way longer than it needs to be because we enjoy spending time together, which is a really good problem. So yeah, it's been, coming back has been some of what I thought it would be and a lot of what I didn't even anticipate. So I think you handled it so well, taking a couple of weeks off and then meeting with your team and then going back when you felt like you were ready, where I just wanted to get it over with, just rip the Band-Aid off. And I should have like put some burn cream on it and like change the bandages, and, like taking my time. But it's all good. I am happy to be back and be back with my coworkers and my friends and my family and my dragons for sure. I missed my little dragons. And do you guys know like when I got home? So I had been gone like 7-8 months and I walk in the door with my mom. She's so excited. Like she's been dragon sitting and like she is the best dog grandmother in the whole wide world. And so she's super pumped to come home with me so she could see their reaction, especially Huey. because Huey is a mama's boy. I am positive he is convinced that I birthed him. I know this. Like, in his in his line of memories, he has created one where he came out of my private areas. Like, I know this. I'm positive. So we walk in the door. They go nuts for my mom. Nuts. And then they sniff me and walk away.
Were they mad at
like,
you?
What the? And I'm like, you guys, whatever, whatever. And they just kind of look at me and sniff me and walk away. Like, go you, back to my mom.
You were half your size.
Yeah. Yes. Physically, I looked different. I had been gone for like 8 months, so I smelled different. I didn't smell like me anymore. And it wasn't until I turned on the baby talk. And I turned on the baby talk and Huey had his back to me because he was playing with my mom. And he stopped and turned around and his ears perked up. And he like tilted his head to the side. And he is looking at me like, I know that voice. And I like, then I really turned it up and he came running and oh my God, my heart was so full. I'm like, oh, thank God. I was like, Jesus Christ. Cause you know, Huey is aggressive. You guys haven't seen it, but he is an aggressive guy. And I'm like, this dog is going to maul me in my sleep. I was like, oh my God. But no, it was, so I was very happy. I'm like, okay, thank God they remember me. Like, it just took a minute. And I think most people have said, oh, they were mad at you. I'm like, they weren't mad at me. They did not recognize me because I could see it in his eyes the moment he's like, that's my mother.
Aww.
Yeah, it was super sweet. So
mama.
Yeah. Yeah. So for the, like, when I see the videos of
the military homecoming.
Yeah. When they come home and their dog is all over them, I'm like, what the fuck? I didn't get that. I went off to war.
Turn on the charm.
I should have been in a military uniform. I think that's the trick. Yeah. So it was, yeah, that homecoming, it was a letdown. I was like, what the crap is this?
Well, Nancy took care of her homecoming issues. She just brought the cats with her.
Yeah, she did.
Yes. Yes, I did. I followed Marie home a day or two later at Christmas. And then turned around the next day like an idiot and drove back to Houston and
yeah.
took my little cat brood with me.
Which is like an 11-hour drive. It's mm-hmm. no joke.
Mm-mm.
It is no joke. I full on respect that you did that. Would you do that 3 times?
No, just twice.
Twice. Which is plenty. That's mm-hmm. a bunch of bull crap. Just the once in a U-Haul is all I need. I'm like,
oh God, I can't imagine.
No. But
well, I guess it was 3 times if you count going and coming back. That would be the 3rd time.
Yeah.
Round trip. Yeah, there were 3 round trips.
No, I'm just talking round trip in mm-hmm. full. So that was, it was 2?
3.
No, 3 because.
I had to get there and then had to come back. So that's 1. And then right. I went to get my car fixed and then I went home to get the cats.
Oh, right, right.
So yeah, that's a total of 3. Yeah.
No. No, ma'am. Not happening.
No. Uh-uh. No.
A road trip to me is driving to Pensacola and that's like 1.5 hours away. No. I'm like, pack the cooler with sandwiches, guys, because we have a long road out of us. No.
For me, road trip is like New Orleans. You know, no. 4 hours down the road. All right.
No, I'm telling you, Pensacola for me.
Grab some, grab a case of waters and some nachos and we're going to New
Orleans. Orange slices, maybe some Gatorade to rehydrate, replenish the electrolytes.
To Pensacola.
Yes. I don't like road tripping. It's not my jam. I'll do it. I mean, and with a group of people, it is fun. Like, you know, whatever. But no. 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 So, sandwiches.
Yeah, you have to just road trip with the right people.
Mm-hmm.
We have a friend who will pack cheese and crackers and little sandwiches for road trips.
Yeah.
And a Bluetooth radio. And
yeah.
And oh, yeah.
We need jam out. Yeah, and you can't stream in a U-Haul. There's no auxiliary port, so you can't. Nothing. Oh. Nothing fancy. It was flip through the stations because you have one for a limited time, and then it goes out, and then you got to find another one.
Old school, baby.
Yes, it was super old school.
Life. That was my life on the way home.
Yeah. No, that's mm-hmm. a bunch of garbage. I was like, what? Yeah. There's no
us 50 somethings are like, oh yeah, that's the way we did it.
No, I'm like, there's no port. There's what is this?
My car is old enough not to have one. So yeah, I was in that boat for that reason.
It makes me sad for you.
I survived.
For Christmas, we get you a new car because that's bull crap. No, it was. Yeah. And then my partner fell asleep on me. So I was like, I have no one to sing with. be sung to.
I'd be singing all up to him because he's going to sleep through it anyway.
Yeah, no, that's true. Except I was trying to eat fries and stay awake. So I'm not singing to anybody.
Priorities.
Yeah, priorities. So that is what we have been doing for the last umpteen months.
I also got to visit my daughter.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I came home from Houston for a couple of months. She came home from college, packed her bags, and then left for a semester in Europe.
Right, because she graduated college from, what school did she go to?
West Florida.
West Florida, which is an awesome school. And that I don't remember the name means nothing. So it really is a good school. So yeah. She graduated in December and then went to France in January?
Yeah.
Just like a couple weeks later, right?
Yeah, I saw her for maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks. Right. And she flew across the pond. So she was over there for a semester, and I went and joined her for her spring break. And we did Paris and Monaco and Rome. And then I went back to her little college town of Angers. Met all her college friends from all over the world.
That's so cool.
And
we still have to have a picture night.
It was fantastic. Some of those pictures you are not going to see.
Whatever. I want to see them all. Are they like badge pictures?
No. No.
What is it?
No. Just a night that the girls...
Were you sexting?
The girls took me out.
Oh, then we definitely want to see
those. It needs to be an us only picture.
Yeah,
viewing.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We might not even remember. We'll be drinking, whatever. We'll be like, what pictures?
Yeah,
that's right. I forgot about that. So that also went down. What else happened in these last 10 months? My hair is slowly growing back. I'm grateful for that. I'm taking my vitamins. So this is week 4. So 4 weeks ago, I jacked up both of my Achilles tendons because in April, we finally were able to get back to working out. So we have been steadily working out since April. I'm so proud. So proud of myself because it doesn't take a lot for me to be like, tired today. I'm not going to go. But I have been steady with it. So I was jumping rope 4 weeks ago and effed up both of my Achilles tendons. And it was coming. I think I talked to you guys about this, or one of you. I don't remember. But so it was coming. So I knew, based on all the damage I have done to my feet and my legs and my tendons and stuff from all that walking in Houston, because it really was, out of a 17, 18 hour workday, we probably walked like 15 of those hours. And the rest of the time, it was probably like we sit for lunch a little bit, or we're sitting at someone's desk helping them. Or so if you add up all that time, it was very likely we were walking like 15 of those hours.
Yeah. And it was a cement floor covered by carpet with no padding. Then layer
of commercial carpet.
Right.
Yeah.
No padding.
Right. So it was as like hard of a surface as you can get. And so there were days when I would limp around because it did feel like one of my tendons was so tight. It was like my foot just would not flex. I do think it was just bound to happen. And what triggered it finally was jumping rope. And so part of our workout this one day was, you know, between sets of whatever, we would just jump rope. And the first two reps each time were pretty uncomfortable. And then it was fine. So I'm like, oh, well, I'm good. It's just while, you know, my feet warm up. No, ma'am. Not at all. So later that morning, like after we worked out, I came home, showered, went to the field in my work boots, and I was walking like a newborn baby animal of your choice. It doesn't matter which baby animal. That's how I was walking, flat footed. Like I was dragging my feet. My feet hurt so bad. They burned. Like it was so much pain. And I was on my feet all day walking. And so I thought, when I get home, I will put my feet on ice. Like it'll be all good. And it just got worse from there. So it didn't take me long, me and my trusty friend Google, to figure out that I had jacked up both of my Achilles tendons. My right foot was way worse than my left. And thank God, because I was able to like put the weight on my left foot. But even my left foot was pretty messed up. And I'm pretty sure I have some micro tears in there. No full on tear, because that would be a different story. Maybe that's what I would have talked about the whole time. oh my God, you guys, I survived. So I'm pretty sure I have some micro tears. Just last week, I went and saw my chiropractor for the first time since before Houston. And she was like, oh yeah, I'm pretty sure you have some tears in here and this is really tight and do this. So it is better. This is the beginning of week four and I'm probably, I'd say 85 to 90% better. So I'm almost there, but I still have a pronounced limp on the right side. That tendon just is committed to being tight. So walking like a newborn baby animal. It's been fun. It's been a lot of fun. So,
and how about you, Lily? You've lost a lot of weight.
Yes.
Yeah, but I put on a lot when we first got to Houston because it was whatever everyone was getting. And I know that carbs don't work for me and, you know, ate them anyway because they taste good and they're comforting. And it was comfort what was
food.
There.
Comfort food.
Well, we were doing group lunches, too. It's the only time we could really, some of us could get together.
Yeah, and there wasn't time to leave and go have lunch. I mean, that didn't exist. It was, you know, we had basically a team meeting while we ate lunch and figured out the game plan for the rest of the day and what people were doing. So, towards the end, as we really got in a groove and we weren't doing all those activities that I talked about at the beginning, we were just really focusing on operations. Things got to a point where, you know, we sort of said together, hey, let's look at health. And we had someone who was willing to help us out sort of with making some meal prep. And I don't know. It worked out. It was a gradual thing. And eating, you know, keto works for me personally. Mm-hmm. I know it's not for everybody, but it works great for me. And I really wanted to control insulin for some, you know, trying to get hormones back in balance. And I've just been able to keep up with it. So it's not the same kind of explosive weight loss that other people have on keto, you know, where you drop 40 pounds in 6 weeks and everyone goes, oh my gosh, you know, three dress sizes. It's not anything like that, but it's slow and steady and I feel better. So
slow and steady is good though.
That's what I'm doing.
That's healthy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Slow and steady really is the healthy way to do it.
Good for your organs, especially your heart. Mm-hmm. Very good. Mm-hmm. So. Well, I brought something back from Houston. An ulcer.
What?
Yeah. That's right. I didn't tell you that?
No.
Yeah. So Lily knows this because she saw me in severe pain one day. But so February was the first sign that I had anything and it woke me up out of my sleep. This like burning knot in the middle of my stomach. So if it's like sternum and navel, like right in the middle, damn near. And it was this burning pain. So I like got up, took some Alka-Seltzer, took a little bit and it worked. And I was able to go back to sleep. And remember, we were working so many hours that little bit of sleep we got was so precious. So to be like, to wake up like that, like bolt upright was so upsetting. Never. I was like, what the? I need this little bit of sleep. So then it happened again, like 2 weeks later, not as bad. But again, like I was asleep, woke me up out of my sleep. The third time it happened was like towards the end of our job there and I had just eaten, like I had shared a third of a half gallon of ice cream with somebody and then like suddenly I have this major pain in my stomach and I'm like, what the heck? And it's this burning, like that was the worst I have ever been and it went on for hours. And I want to say that started in the early morning. No, it was like, I don't know, 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. And it went on to like 1 p.m. And I was like, I will be back. I went to CVS, got Zicam or I don't remember what. It's like this little blue pill that's specific for that stuff. And I stood in the aisle, got on Google and Amazon and I'm looking at reviews and I'm like, I need the very best that CVS has to offer. And it did not touch it. I was pacing outside. I was like, I knew I was going to throw up. I was in bad shape. Bad shape. And it finally went away when I got to the hotel and took Alka-Seltzer. Yes, a freaking little packet of Alka-Seltzer took that crap away. And still I did not know I had an ulcer. I was suspecting. I'm like, I've never had this before.
Well, I remember we were trying to pinpoint, was it food? Was it time of day? Was it activity?
Right.
There were so many different things, so many different variables.
Right, because that's when I told you about it.
Yeah.
That third time. And I'm like, this is, I'd never have anything like this. I don't know what's going on.
So we thought dairy. I know you cut out dairy for
right
a couple days or a week or whatever.
Right. So I was good. And then like it just has happened like on and off. And sometimes it's lasts for just a short amount of time. Like I can feel it coming. I'll take some Alka-Seltzer and I'm good. And then other times Alka-Seltzer won't touch it. I think like, I don't know, a few weeks ago, I woke up in the morning. So empty stomach and I could feel the burn already. And I was like, oh my God. So like did all my normal stuff before I got to work. I had taken 2 packs of Alka-Seltzer, some Pepto and nothing. And that day it also took hours for it to finally go away. Finally. So the just a few days ago, I had another bad episode like that where it just lasted like damn near all day. And I was so miserable. And if anybody out there has an ulcer, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Like you can't function. You can't think straight. You can't like there's no comfortable position. It's not sitting, standing, laying, balled up in a fetal position. Like it doesn't matter. I'm like, just somebody stab me in the spine because I'm done.
So what are you doing for it now?
Well, it woke me up out of my sleep the other night. And led to a ridiculous day of like all day burn and discomfort. So in the wee hours of the morning while I was wide effing awake, I was with my trusty friend Google and she and I figured out that it is in fact an ulcer. And I watched this really cool video by Dr. Axe, Josh Axe, I think his name is, and he's on YouTube. I will make sure I link it in the show notes for you guys. He has really great stuff. It's very much about natural healing, alternative stuff. So he recommended things like bone broth is really great for healing. He recommended aloe vera juice, licorice root supplement, a soil-based probiotic, because the soil-based probiotics have the really great enzymes and organisms that you need to heal the gut versus like the plant-based. Yeah, so soil-based for sure. He recommended there's some other stuff on the list. I can't think of everything right now. It's not a very long list, but then he also and when he is describing what an ulcer is, I was like, oh my God, that's me. That's me too. That's me too. Because it was, yeah, when I had told you about it, Lily, we couldn't figure it out. I'm like, this is the third time it's happened and it's not the time of day. Like it's not the meal. It's not a combination of foods. It wasn't. So he did say though, you know, make sure you eat smaller meals. Because it ultimately is just a hole in the lining of your stomach where acid can get out. And it hurts like a mother. Like it is so uncomfortable. So that is the treat I brought back with me. And I am now like this happened Thursday night going into Friday morning. Because Friday after work, I went straight to the health food store. And I was like, I will like charge up an entire credit card to get all the crap I need because I am not dealing with this crap anymore. So I'm feeling better. I cannot definitively say it's all the stuff that I'm taking now, all the stuff I'm doing, because I will go a few weeks without having anything and then suddenly it creeps back up out of nowhere. So I am going to keep doing the stuff I'm doing. So I am drinking the aloe vera juice. That night I made a chicken noodle soup type, you know, like a Dominican style. It was so good. And so I used a lot of bone broth in that, and I've been taking the licorice root supplement and the probiotics on an empty stomach and trying not to have larger meals, just break them up and have the smaller meals and just eat a little more often. So far it seems to be helping. And oh, sugar is a huge one because he said sugar just feeds. So if you guys don't know about ulcers, at least 70% of the people that have ulcers get them as a result of the H. pylori bacteria that is in your system, and it can lead to something like an ulcer. So when you have that, you don't listen to me. You should seek medical attention. Don't do what I'm doing. I am choosing not to do that. I'm choosing to do this because I did read a lot of different things, including trials and stuff that were done on different groups and doing this and this and whatever the case. So a lot of evidence out there, tested stuff that says, yeah, this did work. The bone broth did work, or aloe vera juice did work, or the soil based, you know, so that kind of thing. So this is the route I'm choosing to take because I don't like taking prescriptions. I don't like, the medications and stuff. Supplements are a totally different thing. So that is just me, you guys. I'm not condoning ditching your doctor at all. That's not what I'm saying. You guys understand that, right? You guys do?
Absolutely.
Go see your doctor.
Go see your doctor. Do not listen to me. I'm just telling my story. That's all. I just want to be clear about that. No lawsuits. So that is what I'm doing. I am feeling better. I don't know where I was going with that. Thank you guys for disrupting the episode. Thanks. Literally no one here, but they want to bark. So
yeah, there's a little thunder rumble outside. They might be barking at
the... Or the sun is setting. No one knows. They'll bark at whatever. So
well, they got to protect the house.
Yeah. They're like, my mother's here. Yes. Protect. Yeah, so that is my ulcer story. So yeah, I did get online that night and I watched that video and I am so grateful for Dr. Josh Hooks. I love him. Mm-hmm. So I'm feeling better. So that's my story. So I do have a vlog now, you guys. I will make sure. I have so many videos I have to edit. It's unreal. Like the whole month of July. That's what I mean. Like 31 days worth of videos, maybe. That I have to edit.
Fantastic. Get to work.
Yeah. So in there, I do have a video where I talk about the ulcer and the stuff that I found. And I will also make sure I put the links on that. So I will make sure you guys know how to see the vlog. And I will make sure I link the Dr. Axe video so you guys know the same stuff that I now know if you choose to go that route. And I hope none of you have ulcers out there. And if you do, I'm so, so sorry because they're just mean. They're of the devil. They're not nice. So yeah, that is that's some of the stuff. So yeah, it's H. pylori. It's a lot of stress. It's all of those things. So yes.
Hey, you haven't had any stress in the last 10 months.
No, none at all. I feel like I aged. Like I remember in October, I was talking to one of our other managers. And she brought it up. She was saying, oh my God, the amount of gray hair I have. She's like, it just happened. Like, I did not have this many grays when I got here. And I was like, you know what? I thought it was my mind playing tricks on me, but my skin looks different. And she's like, we're dying. I was like, we are dying. So it is, it's very true. I used to think that stress killed people because like it weakens your heart and it like, you know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. But I had no idea what stress could actually do to your body. And now I am super respectful of it.
And that quickly.
That quickly, yeah. Because I started noticing those changes in October.
Well, not to mention that we're a bunch of Florida girls who live in humidity. And then we go to Houston and, you know, they don't have the Florida humidity. They say they're humid, but they have no idea. That not compared to our humid.
Well, and, we're also not there right now in the thick of summer, so we don't know.
And it's just,
yeah.
I mean, dehydrated.
Yeah.
Just also dehydrated.
True. Yeah. Also well, true.
And you get out of, I know I didn't drink enough water when I first got there. Mm-hmm. And I'm a water drinker. That's all I drink. And yeah, just getting in to the activities of what was happening there. Mm-hmm. If you didn't have that water bottle in hand, you didn't. Drink.
Right.
Hydration can do a lot.
No, that's true. Some days I barely ate one meal. Like, and it wasn't even a meal. It was like a couple bites of something and keep going. And I'm like, oh, I'll eat later. And yeah, so it was an experience for sure. So that's what we've been up to, you guys. I know I missed you guys a lot. And I have had a lot of questions about when is the show coming back? Is the show coming back? Yes, the show is definitely coming back, as you well know, because now it's back. So I am super excited. I am happy that I have the energy to do this and the time to do this, like set aside the time to commit to doing this all over again. Cause it is a lot of work. It is a lot of work to put out an episode. It is all the production, all the behind the scenes stuff, all the editing. Oh, for the love of baby Jesus, those dogs, they will not stop. So, okay. That's nice. They're just going to keep going. That's lovely. You're welcome, guys. Those are my dragons. Muscle. Yep. My little baby dragons. So with that, you guys, thank you so much for joining us for another awesome episode. My wonderful Lily and Marie Rose. These are my ride or die witches. I love you guys so much.
Love you back.
I'm excited.
Love you more.
Yes. I'm super excited that you guys are on the welcome back episode, the comeback episode. So many more to come. I don't know what the plan is for October right now. I do not know that we can commit to two episodes a week. We already know ahead of time that there's one big project coming up at work that might take some of our group away. We already know that in advance. So we're definitely going to do one episode a week, but if we can kick out more, then we definitely will. And it'll be a nice surprise. And as we get closer to Halloween or the month of October, we'll let you guys know. But for now, I'm just so excited to be back. I cannot wait to start listening to all those awesome podcasts again, because I really have not listened to a podcast since I left for Houston. Actually, I think my first week in Houston, before things got super crazy, I had worked out a couple times, and at the gym, I listened to a couple of podcasts, and that was it. So since the first week of October, I haven't listened to one, and I cannot wait to get back into them. I don't know that I'm going to catch up on all the ones I've missed, but I know that going forward, I will be there in full costume to support all of my fabulous friends. Yeah, so maybe I will get back into the live tweeting on Friday nights with the scary movies with my fun Twitter friends. I don't know what is to come. We'll see. But I do know that the show is back. I do know that there is a vlog now with episodes to be edited, videos to be edited. So a lot of fun stuff in store. There's also stuff that we have talked about behind closed doors that we're not ready to disclose yet, because we have to see if they're going to pan out. And if and when they do, we will make sure we tell you guys. But for now, thank you so much for joining us for another awesome episode of The Media Matters. I am your host, Chantel, and I have the lovely Marie Rose and Lily with me, and we will be back for more episodes. So don't forget to reach out to us, you guys. Stay in touch. We love hearing from you. And hopefully by the time you guys are hearing this, the website is back up and running. I took it down so that I could make some adjustments. Somehow in the shuffle of things, a lot of the content has been erased and I'm so bummed. So I have to go back and rework some of that stuff. So I just want to make sure that by the time you guys see it, it is what it's supposed to be and not half-assed, because that is no one's friend. So we will talk with you guys next week. Stay tuned and come back for more. Love you guys.
Love you guys. See ya.